sitting on the shelf. He is just a toy, but I turn him on and he comes to life. Automatic joy, that is why I want a coin operated boy. Made of plastic and elastic, he is rugged and long lasting. Who could ever, ever ask for more? Love without complications galore.
Are you looking for low commitment with a big payoff? Well, I am here to help you get your itch scratched. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and you are listening to the Body Storytelling Podcast, where we give you sex and story. We're the original sex and storytelling series, and we are going to give you a little inspiration to make the magic happen. And speaking of technology, we live in a modern world, a world where you can support the art that you want to support. It could be not safe for work. It could be the sort of thing that is never going to make it on ABC or any of the mainstream channels because they want family friendly, and maybe we're not. But we are really interesting and we are really cool. So if you want to support the subversive arts, go to patreon.com. Patreon is a way to support things that you love. You make an ongoing donation. Maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $50 a month. And you get rewards and you get to know that you are bringing something cool into the world and making sure that it flourishes. So go to patreon.com/body, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, then body, B-A-W-D-Y, and support at the level that you want. It's not only cool that you support us through the internet, but it lets us know that we're doing something that you like. There's a lot of work that goes into podcasting, and I'm willing to do that work. I'm willing to bring you the stories that I have been collecting for 10 plus years, but the only way I can do it is if you spread the word and if you support our Patreon. So please go to patreon.com/body, support us, and this thing can keep growing and you can keep listening every single time. Thanks so much. Our first story for this episode is from somebody that I've known for many, many years. She has been telling stories at Body since we began. I've known her for a long, long time. She has produced solo shows. Her solo show was entitled Reading My Dad's Porn and French Kissing the Dog, which may be the longest name of a solo show that ever was. And she's an author, and her book is entitled The Cheeky Tiki Bang Gang, because that is really hard to say. The Cheeky Tiki Bang Gang. This story is from my dear friend, Cherry Zonkowski.
Sorry. God! God, I wish that my tits would flop when I do that. Yeah! So the name of the book is Cheeky Tiki Gang Bang. No, Cheeky Tiki Bang Gang. Bang Gang. Anyway, I am so excited to be here tonight. But I'm going to start on kind of a hard note because I've been thinking about this lately, and I'm really kind of fucked up. Yeah, let's hear it for the fucked up. God damn it, yes. My father was an abusive alcoholic who taught me that if I stood up for myself, I was gonna get cigarette smoke in the face or a beer on the head. I've been sexually assaulted 3 times in my life, and my adult relationships have been with a series of men who are at worst psychopaths, and at best, adorable man-children who had no ability to deal with the kind of damage that I am rocking. So I decided to take a long spell of celibacy and figure this out. I don't like being celibate. So I had to figure out, how do I get my needs met and break my patterns? So I started having some very nice relationships, sort of friends with benefits, with nice men that I really like, and that was very nice, and I enjoy it very much. But I miss being the intense focus of someone's desire. I miss the kind of white-hot passion that you can only get when you're fucking someone who's bad for you. And it doesn't solve all my problems. I still have a lot of hard time communicating exactly what I want and don't want sexually. And four times over the past year, I have had men approach me sexually because I'm sex positive without actually asking first, starting to touch. And I freeze up and then run away. I don't say no very effectively. And I'm tired of all of this. So I want to figure out something that will make me powerful. So let's recap. What do I want? I want somebody who wants me so badly he would crawl through broken glass for me. I want someone who wants to be told exactly what I want and don't want. And I want somebody who will not lay a finger on me unless I tell him to. I don't want a boyfriend anymore. I want a sub. Yeah! So I'm on OkCupid, and I get hit on, like I'm sure a lot of you do too, by a lot of douchebag doms. I'd like to tie you up. Whatever, dude. But one day I get this message from this guy. It says, "You seem really sexy. Are you dominant or submissive?" And I go and I look at his website, and he's cute but boring as shit. And my hit is that this is another douchebag dom. But he asked. So I went ahead and answered and said, "I've been submissive a long time, and I'm tired of that shit. I'm looking to explore my dominant side if I find the right partner." And I get back, "I am submissive and I would love to serve you." Well, that just got interesting. So I start seeing if our kinks met. "Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put you in a collar and a leash. I'd like to train you in exactly how to serve and please me. I'd like to spank you. I'd like to strap it on and fuck you in the ass. And every time I say what I want to do to him, he responds, This big, long string of M's on the screen. He lives in Monterey, so we decide to have a Skype date. So he comes up on Skype, and oh my God, he's sexier in person. He is 6'3", broad shoulders, black hair, big nose, Jewish, athletic, nice, hot as shit. But there's one question I have to ask him. "So on your OkCupid profile, it says somewhere you work in a uniform. Are you a cop?" "I don't think I can fuck a cop." But no, he's not a cop. He's an officer in the Navy. Yes, he is. Oh my God, rum, sodomy in the lash, the dress whites, an officer and a gentleman at my feet to command. Oh, mama. We're having this awkward conversation, but somehow his dick comes out. And that thing is nice. I mean, I am not a size queen. But a big dick is a sexy visual. It's like a feast. You're like, I can't eat all that, and it's a lot more than I need, but God, it gets my juices running. So we start this intense sexting relationship. I would text him, "Hey, sailor." And he'd text back, "That got me instantly hard. I get hard just from a message from you. That is power." And it felt like power. But this one question keeps coming up. "What do you want me to wear? What would you have me wear? What will you make me wear?" And I realize this question's important. I go out on a limb and I say, "You want to wear something pretty, don't you? You want to be my little sissy bitch, don't you?" "Yes, please. Make me pretty." And that melted my heart a little. But he's stalling about actually meeting. And it turns out it comes, yes, he has a vanilla monogamous girlfriend. Fuck! But I still really want to fuck him. And it's my birthday. So I set up a Skype date and I tell him that I want him kneeling, naked, and hard, with his hands behind his back. And when I get him like that, I hold him like that, and I put on my makeup really slowly. this is very hot for him. And he keeps trying to take his hand and get it around. And I bop, 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 bop. And I tell him, hey, let's just have one night. One night to see if that actually works in person or if this is just a really fun fantasy for us. Come on, one night. He says, yes. I get excited. I plan a scene. I buy a prettier strap-on. I clean the house. He cancels. I can't cheat, he says. All right, well then, fuck you. It's over. Goodbye. Hello. No thanks. Goodbye. Don't text me again. I turn around and immediately, like a week later, I fall incredibly passionately into infatuated lust with his exact opposite. A guy who's a little shorter than me, blonde, blue-eyed, pierced and tattooed, an agent of chaos and misrule who likes everything that I like, cocktails and meat, cartoons and puppy dogs, somebody that I could see myself running through life with, giggling maniacally. But this time I'm aware of my patterns, and I've got my eyes open, and I realize this guy has all the damage that I do and is not anywhere near on top of it. And I decide to break up with him. I'm going to his house to return a pair of his underpants. And I'm standing there in front of him with his underpants in my hand, and I'm just thinking, if only he would say, Cherry, I really like you. Do we have to do this? Let's sit down and talk about it. Then I would have sat down and talked about it, and maybe we'd be together right now, but it was my judgment that he did not have the capacity to do that. And when I handed him his underpants, he looked at them, and he looked at me, and he put his underpants on his head. And I said, yeah, that's about right. And I knew I was making the right choice. But although I made that choice, and it was the right choice, it devastated me. I was crying. I couldn't sleep. I was vomiting. I was in my therapist's office going, what the fuck? This is humiliating. He shouldn't mean that much. It was only 6 weeks. It's like I'm having some kind of PTSD reaction. And she said, no, honey, it's not like you are. You have complex PTSD from a lifetime of crap. It's not about him, it's all of it. And I'm trying to absorb this and figure out what it means for me when, boop, up pops sissy bitch. And he's broken up with his girlfriend and he would really like to meet me and he'll come anytime I say and he's begging and he's so sorry. And I'm telling him, no, fuck you, go away, you blew it, loser, no, thank you. But one day, I'm lying on my bed, and I'm crying. And I was like, I know that I made the choice, and I know that it was the right one, but I want to call Captain Underpants so bad. And I'm just chanting to myself, don't text Captain Underpants, don't beg. Don't text Captain Underpants, don't beg. And I remember that there is someone on this goddamn earth who will beg for me. And I text him, hello, sailor. And he texts back, every single goddamn day, I jerk off thinking about you. And and I really needed to hear that right then. So I said to him, look, I'm not ready to meet. I'm in a bad place. But have some patience. We can text again. I'll let you know when I'm ready. And he says, okay. I get that, sure, but I am moving to Rhode Island in 4 weeks. Oh, well, so we got into it, and our kinks got deeper and dirtier and darker. There were cock cages and incest fantasies and cuckolding fantasies. I would go, so mommy dresses up her pretty, pretty princess, and then mommy puts his cock in a cage. And then she brings out a bad man and she makes her pretty princess suck that bad man's cock until it's hard. And then she's gonna put you in a cage and you're gonna have to watch while that bad man fucks mommy with the cock that you sucked. And what do you think of them apples? And he says, am I wearing a butt plug? God damn it, I always forget about the butt plug. Yes, goddammit, a butt plug. And it's pink and it's glittery and it's bigger every day. So we kept at that for a while, but I wasn't ready to meet him before he left, and then he left. We texted for a while after that, but we've ended it recently. Wednesday, actually. And as I think about this, I realize that there are two huge wins for me out of this. One is, I had this intensely passionate experience of desiring and being desired and exploring myself. And I may be disappointed that it's over, but I'm not devastated. And that's huge for someone like me. And the second thing is that for the rest of my life, I will get to say, hey, you know what? I used to make a US naval officer my little sissy bitch.
Oh, we got you thinking now, don't we? You're coming up with some dirty ideas of your own. Let's keep that going. Our next story is from somebody who thought his life wasn't dirty enough. He had been on storytelling stages all over the San Francisco Bay Area, but the one he felt he wasn't quite right for was body storytelling. And he wanted to be so right that he asked me to give him an assignment. He really wanted to step on that stage. And this story is from his very first time doing it. This story is from our More, More, More show, which happened in 2016. And this story is from Gary Pinsky.
The only reason I agreed to come out tonight is she said anyone who cheered when I came out wanted to go home with me tonight. So I assume that's true. All right. It's a little surreal for me to be up here. As Dixie mentioned, it's not that I don't like telling stories. It's just this is body storytelling. See, I ain't that body. I mean, if any of y'all tried to play bango with me earlier, I really was not that helpful. I mean, the one in particular who came up and was like, all right, let me make it easy. Do you want to make out with someone tonight? Or do you want to go home with someone tonight? I'm like, I do have an early morning tomorrow. Okay, that could work. But the thing is, I was the last of my age group to see an R-rated movie. I had my first kiss when I was 20. Lost my virginity when I was 25. And that required 3 hours travel each way and a Craigslist post titled, "We'll Travel for Sex." Gotta do what you gotta do, right? But the thing is, I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm grateful. I've got a great life. Just, you know, I figured sex is just not gonna be one of the things I get in this lifetime. Until about 5 years ago, I had this theory. See, my father's a great guy, but he's really not a man's man. So I decided I needed to just, like, inundate myself with, like, super alpha males, and then everything would all click into place, right? And one thing about me is I am not opposed to making horrendous life decisions in pursuit of a bad idea. So I quit my very stable job at the government and got a very unstable job as a personal assistant for an obscenely wealthy Uber alpha male. Went into work. I could not believe the things coming out of his mouth. Everything made me cringe, but I noticed that the women were like totally into him, and it was not his looks. So next thing I know, now I'm working on the top floor of one of the most prestigious office buildings in the financial district. When we go to Vegas, it's on a private plane. I can go to any Warriors game I want. I just got to decide, do I want courtside or the box, you know? I'm just swimming in testosterone, and this should make the difference. It should change everything. But deep down, I'm still that same little kid who was told, close your eyes when people are kissing on television. Yeah, so I needed to do a whole overhaul, change the persona, everything. And my stroke of luck was my boss decided he wanted to spend a year in Israel with his family, so I got to house it. I packed up my, just wait till you hear about this. So I packed up my tiny, tiny little studio apartment, moved into his $15 million compound. 6,000 square foot house, guest house, pool house, award-winning garden. I'm managing a staff of people, okay? So it's all good, and this friend of mine is like, dude, you gotta be pimping this house out. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't work that way. He's like, well, come on, at least the hot tub, right? You gotta at least be scoring, you know, getting a little cozy in the hot tub. And I'm like, you know, just last week, these three beautiful women, they wanted me to fire it up, but I mean, I couldn't. They didn't have their swimsuits with them. So that's all he needed, right? He grabbed my phone, he put Tinder on there, and then as my profile picture, he put me in the hot tub with the house in the background. You know, I'm up for a good experiment, right? I'll do anything. So I start swiping, and I am matching left and right, you know? And one of them stands out. She looks so much like Zoe Saldana that I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like checking IMDb to see if, no, it's none of those pictures. And so I sent her a message, don't hear back, for 90 minutes. Then she's like, sorry it took so long, I just landed. See, the house where I'm staying is right by SFO, so she swiped as she was getting onto a plane to head home to LA. No, sorry, that doesn't work, I'm looking local. She's like, look, you got to give me one chance, trust me, give me your Skype address, and I will change your mind. And in that moment, I realized this is my chance, right? Like, I can't give her Gary Pinsky, which is my Skype address. I need to show her something that's going to let her know that I am a real man. I'm a macho man. I'm a sex god. To quote, and this is the only time this will ever happen on stage, to quote Donald Trump, there ain't no problem down there, right? So I rack my brain and I come up with it. And I say, okay, you can send me whatever you got. My Skype name is Big Daddy Longstroke. All caps. I'm expecting a racy JPEG when I find there's this PDF and it's titled The Horse Whisperer. The fuck am I going to do with that, right? So I start looking, okay, I misread it. It's called The Whore's Whisperer, and it's a script that she's written so that we can have long-distance Skype roleplay sex. Zoe is a madam who's kind of out of her mind, lost her wits, can't take care of, you know, what's going on, and I am the cool, confident cowboy with the magical mouth that can tame even the wildest of women. So I'm looking at this thing, and it's a lot of work, you know. So I'm like, I'm gonna need a couple days on this one, right? We set the time, start working on my accent, look up a few costume shops. But most importantly, I got to deal with the technology here. See, y'all don't understand. Rich people shit is complicated. He's got this whole entertainment room, but it's so off the hook that it seems like it's haunted. The nanny before me, one time she's sitting there minding her own business, and the TV zoomed into her telephone and started putting her personal pictures up as a wallpaper, and these were not pictures she wanted to be seen, right? But like I said, I got staff. So I called in my IT guy, hooked me up. He shows me how to operate everything. Now I got my Skype up on the television, and he even hooks it up, shows me how to make it so it's all voice command. I can do anything I want, you know, just with the sound of my voice. Midnight, Saturday, rolls around. I say, voice command, call Zoe. Next thing I know, there she is right in front of me, and she looks gorgeous in this long red dress. She's beautiful. I'm doing everything I can to, you know, hold back, but I still, I got my lines, right? So Howdy, ma'am. I understand you need a strong man with a stronger hand. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Well, the combination of all of the other stuff I had to do, plus all the drinks I had beforehand just to be able to get up on, you know, and do this, I'm not really so good with the script. And I'm trying, and I'm like trying to remember what's going on, and then I'm trying to improv. And the thing is, she looks so good that I can't last very long with the script I'm talking about. So finally, I just like, fuck it. I need to see her naked. I'm going old school, right? So I'm like, baby, you know, just trying to think of anything I can think of. Till finally, I'm like, you know, who's your daddy? Call me daddy, baby. Yeah. Daddy baby to voice command was my boss's wife. So it decided to call her and conference her in. A little history lesson here. Midnight, Saturday, California, is 10 a.m. Sunday in Israel. They ain't in church in Israel. So on the other side of that call is going to be my boss's entire extended family and half the neighborhood coming together for brunch to celebrate the start of the new week. Normally, I'm the guy you want in a crisis. I'm cool, calm, collected. I make things happen. But in this particular moment, I'm frozen. More specifically, I'm frozen stiff. My life flashes before my eyes. I had a good run. It's fine. And I start thinking, I wonder if that government job will take me back when I hear the most beautiful symphony on the planet, the sound of Skype disconnecting a call. The logical thing is that Zoe had a cooler head than me and hung up, but I like to think that the ghost in the house took pity on me. Whatever, it doesn't matter, because I just collapsed into a naked heap in the middle of the room. Zoe called back. I did not answer. I deleted Tinder. If you want to talk to me on Skype, look me up under Gary Pinsky. For the next 8 months, that television remained unplugged, and I did not enter that room. Because I decided, you know what? I'm not giving up. You know, I'm going to tell some stories of body storytelling, and somewhere out there's the woman for me, and I'm not giving up on having a love life, but if I have to pretend to be somebody else to have it, I'm not down with that. Thank you.
I've seen the future, so bright, I gotta wear shades, and it's hotter than Hades, and everyone'll have AIDS, and robot brigades at war with the humans, machine against man, and the planet's in ruins. But by then we will have mastered the craft of creating clone soldiers, so we don't have to come out of hiding, fighting, and we just might outlast this battle without time travel back to the past. But as some of the cloners grow older, narcissistic fiends like me'll take over, and once I'm trained and supervised and alone, I'm gonna fuck my clone. My sci-fi fantasy will begin innocently. Making these clones that look just like me will get boring, and so I'll get curious and horny, and I'll sneak one of my clones back to my room in a janitor's basket, hidden in with the broom.
Can you hear me rubbing my hands together in glee? Well, of course you can. It's a podcast, but I can tell you I'm really excited about this next story. I learned so much from this woman while we worked on her story together. Have you guys heard about financial domination? I know the cash pigs out there are squealing in glee, but financial domination is when you derive erotic pleasure by being dominated in a financial way. And financial domination's been around for a really long time, but our next storyteller has taken it to new levels. She is a data dominatrix. She will hack her way in and lock you out of your social media, your porn. She'll blackmail you with what she finds in your email. And if you want to get free, it's gonna cost you. It's fascinating. It's an interesting peek inside of a kink that I wanted to know more about. And she had never been on stage to tell her story in this way. We worked together really hard, and she got on stage recently at Body and told her first person story. The storyteller is Mistress Harley, also known as the Tech Dom.
Make dirty videos with my clones, and then I'll have to watch them with them because I'm never alone. It'll be me, watching me, fucking me, and also me on the TV screen. She's a 12 of me, do you? Because on the couch, there's also me, fucking me, and me.
So it's the afternoon in San Francisco. I'm like wearing a pink velour tracksuit, which is what I normally wear, and eating a salad. And I realize it's 3 a.m. in Norway. That may not seem significant, but I have a slave in Norway who's installed all these Nest cams so I can look and see every single part of his house at any moment that I want. And Nest cams also have speakers built into them, so I can just like pop open an app on my phone, press a button, and this guy can hear me throughout his entire house. So I check in on him, and he is dead fucking asleep, like the deadest asleep a human can be. So first I started like playing creepy ghost noises, just like kids whispering like, hey, what's going on? And so like I'd wait until he like stirred and like rolled around and like looked around, and I'd turn it off, just like laughing my ass off. I waited until he was sound asleep again. I cranked up the speakers as loud as they would go. I started playing the 1812 overture, just like all through his house. And at that point, he realized something was amiss. He jumps up, he's like looking around, he realizes only Mistress Harley can be doing this to me right now. And so he gets on his knees and he starts bowing up and down, looking at the cameras, like, I'm so, whatever I did, I'm sorry. And I'm just laughing my ass off. I'm like, you can go to bed now. This was just for my amusement. And that's like kind of what I do now, which is funny because like I used to be kind of like you guys. Like I'm gonna describe a day in my old life where I'd like wake up and run a 5K and then drive an hour to work and then work 8 hours for someone else. I was working in the game industry. I was a QA tester and a technical project manager. And I did that for about 10 years and just thought like, God, this sucks. Like working for a living just fucking sucks. Like, you know, they tell you it's a privilege, right? You get this kegerator, right? Like, it's so cool. You can wear, like, a hoodie, and there's, like, beer at your office. But really, you're a wage slave for, like, 15 hours a day, and you're, like, desperate to do your laundry because you just got no time. Anyway, in my personal life, I was also kind of, like, screwing around in the scene here in the Bay Area, the BDSM scene, going to the Citadel, doing some stuff. And I was talking to my husband one day, and he mentioned that somebody I knew was doing, like, some cam girl work, some adult work, some financial domination work. And I was like, what the fuck is financial domination? And we talked about it a little bit, but ultimately I ended up Googling it, and it was this fetish that men have where they just like to give money to women for a variety of reasons. Yeah, I know, right? My first response was like, no fucking way, that's not real. I'm Jewish, I would know about that shit. But upon a Google, I discovered this entire community of fine doms, women dominating men, and just saying, give me your money because you suck. And guys like, can I please give you my money because I suck? And I was like, this is for me. Like, I can't believe I had no fucking clue that this existed. And so I start getting into this financial domination world and like starting to make a little bit of money. And it was mostly like Amazon gift cards. You get like $25, $100 on Amazon, go shopping, feel good about yourself. And I started to notice that like a lot of these dudes really wanted more. They wanted more control. They wanted like just real control in their lives, kind of like the story I was just telling you with the dude with the cameras in his house. So I started investigating all these different ways that I could take over people's financial lives. And being a QA tester means I had all this like background knowledge of like suites of software that I can use. And so using screen sharing software, I started taking over people's computers for their sexual pleasure and my financial gain. Yeah, I know. So yeah, it was pretty cool. So like I would start by taking administrative control of somebody's computer, making their account like a child's account, and then installing like a variety of software that like an angry wife would put on your computer. So like keyloggers, web filters, payment enforcers, ransomware. Half these guys gotta pay me every week just to use their own computer. Like, it's a pretty sweet deal, you guys. And I wanted to take it even farther. And so, you know, obviously I started having people install cameras in their houses so I could watch them. And I even developed a phone app that you could install on your phone so I could like GPS track you and read your text messages. I can respond to text messages as if I'm using your phone. So like I can really fuck with people. Like if somebody doesn't pay me the money I want, I can start sending like weird texts to their friends or their boss or their wife or like anyone that you really wouldn't want that information exposed to. And you just, like, what I was amazed was how much I learned about these fucking people. Because I had access to, like, the keyloggers would get their passwords, the websites they visit. You know, I'd get their bank account information. I'd get their resumes, their tax returns. I'd look through their entire porn collections. Like, there are some fetishes I had no idea even existed. On one guy's computer, there was a dude fucking a snake. I didn't even know you could do that. It was horrible, like, but I was just like, okay, this is what this guy's into. I'm deleting all of this stuff. And yeah, I really enjoy deleting people's files too. Like if you have like a terabyte of porn, I just delete all of it and like, ha 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 ha. So yeah, you know. So it's nice because I get to like experience all my real feelings of disgust and horror and just like take it out on people and they pay me for it. So I've been doing that for quite a while, and it's been really successful. And so now, as you can imagine, like I have so many guys that are paying me to like use their computers and their phones. And so along comes like a slave. I'll call him Michael because that's his real name. And yeah, yeah. There's I have this loser hall of shame on my website where I post pictures of losers, like guys that either send me their pictures or owe me money or just like really gross, like, and so I post them there. So there's a picture of this guy Michael if you want to go see. He's in like in a diaper and a binky and it says, "I owe Mistress Harley money." And so Michael wanted really real financial control. And so I talked to my lawyer a little bit and I was like, "How can we like make this really real?" And my lawyer was like, "Well, we can have him sign a contract, like just have a debt contract, like the same contract you sign with a bank when you get a mortgage, right? Sign a contract that says I owe the bank $100,000 and I will pay it back over X number of years at X number of interest." And so that's what I do now with these guys. And so Michael has agreed to pay me $15,000 over a course of 8 years at 23% interest. Yeah, and he's just one of, like, hundreds, like, and so, like, his payments end up being around, like, $450 a month, and then, of course, my app's on his phone, so now he's paying me to rent his own phone from me, so that's, like, another $250. Anyway, this guy, just this one guy, he pays, like, $800 a month. He just makes a nice $800 a month payment. His picture stays on my website until he's satisfied his debt to me. And there are just like hundreds of these guys just so desperate to give women their money because it's either it's humiliating for them or it's satisfying for them to feel like they're serving like a superior and beautiful woman. And ultimately, like, and you've all experienced this in your vanilla relationships, I'm sure. Either you've spent money on a woman who maybe didn't return your affections. I realized through the course of financial domination that I had been doing this, like, my entire life. Like, dating guys, letting them buy me shoes, and not fucking them. Right? Like, we've all done that? No? Just me? Okay. All right, that's fine. So I'm in the right line of work. And so that's like basically what I do now. But before you guys start to judge or before you start to think that any of this is really weird, I would just ask you to consider what I might find if I was inside your computer looking at all of your website histories and passwords and emails and anything else that you might have. So that's what I do now. It's pretty high tech. There's no fucking in this story. Like, it's just me making a lot of money off of, like, nerdy pervs. So if you're a nerdy perv and you would like some, like, financial control, you know where to find me.
Mistress Harley stepped on my stage right before leaving San Francisco to tell that story, and she moved to LA. So if you're in LA, she's there. But if you're anywhere on the internet, clearly she can do her thing from wherever she is and wherever you are. She's at mistressharley.com. And on Twitter, she's at TechDom. So I have taken June off from shows because I've started the latest episode of the Standing O Storytelling Workshop. I've been working with brand new storytellers on stories clean and dirty. And if you are interested in learning to tell your story and working with me, I do coaching over Skype. So if you'd like to know more, just contact me at dixie@bawdystorytelling.com. It's so easy to psych yourself out and think your story isn't important enough to tell, but telling your story will change your life. I guarantee it. Every time I watch somebody walk off stage, they cannot believe how they feel transformed by the power of having people get to their feet to give them a standing ovation and connect with them. They're invited to wild parties. Their life changes. So if you want that for yourself, dixie@bawdystorytelling.com. We could do it. I'm telling you, we could do it. Let me tell you about upcoming live shows. I'm back in July. I'll be back on stage in San Francisco on Wednesday, July 12th. The theme of the evening is Size Queen, and I have one spot left in my Size Queen lineup. If you want to pitch me a story and you want to be on stage on July 12th in San Francisco, send me your Size Queen story, what that means to you, to dixie@bawdystorytelling.com, and we're going to work on your story, make it perfect, and then you're going to rock the stage on July 12th in San Francisco. And on Thursday, July 20th, I'm back in Seattle, and the theme of the evening is Wanderlust. I am taking travel-related stories right now for that Seattle show. Send me your story. You can write out the gist of the story. No teasers. I want to know beginning, middle, and end. Or you can send me a voice memo so I can hear you tell the story. It doesn't have to be perfect. Together we work to make it perfect. You can send that email to, you know where to send that email. You're not stupid. You know. Okay. And I have big news. I'm going to the East Coast in the fall. I'm not going to announce the shows in the cities yet, but plans are being made. If you're interested in seeing us and you want to see Bawdy Storytelling live, but you live on the East Coast, send me an email, you know where to send it, and tell me where you live so I can make sure that we send you information on the cities and the shows we'll be performing at. I already have one big announcement to come. It's lockdown, and I'm working on more, but I'm not going to tell you until I have a little bit more information. So send me an email. Make sure you get on our list so that you know we're going to be on the East Coast, and be sure to tell your friends about not just this podcast, because you're going to share this podcast. I know you will, but tell them that you can see this live together. We're going to have more information soon. Thanks for listening to that. And do you know how hard it is to keep my mouth shut? I really want to tell you everything, but I'm not going to tell you everything yet. You're going to have to wait. God, it's killing me. I want to tell you so bad. It's time to say thank you. Thank you to podcast producer Matthew Martyr, to sound engineer David Grossoff, to video engineer Joe Moore, to the guy who runs our on-demand. You can find it at bawdystreaming.com. Thank you to Ruben Tan and to all of the team members who make Bawdy Storytelling happen and have made it happen for 10 years plus. We are going to be coming to new cities soon. If you'd like to help make sure that our trip to your city is a success, send me an email. Let me know you want to help. Sex positivity needs to be everywhere. And the only way we can get it out there everywhere is if you help us spread the word and you help make the magic happen. That's it for this episode. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. Thank you so much for listening. I would love it if you would subscribe and you would review us on iTunes. That would mean the world to me. And we'll be back really soon with the next episode of the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. Keep it pervy out there.
Isn't that the point? That is why I want a coin. coin, operated boy with a pretty coin, operated voice saying that he loves me, that he's thinking of me, straight and to the point. That is why I want a coin, operated boy.
I am submissive and I would love to serve you. Well, that just got interesting.